Now, our puppy Nia turned 1 year old last month. She is a rescue. Our best guess is that she is a husky German Shepherd mix with some kind of hound in there. The bigger the stick, the better. We think that because she is a talker. You do not need to wonder what she's thinking at all. Between her whining and grumbling and groaning, we know exactly what she wants at any given moment. Attention, food, playing outside, whatever it is. Nia has been one of the most fearful pups I have ever had. Now here's just an annotated and incomplete list of all the things she's been frightened of last year. Fake outdoor reindeer. Her shadow. People running across the street. My shadow. Children in winter gear. Garbage cans. Me not in tennis shoes. I'm gonna go home today in these brown tennis shoes. She won't recognize the footfall and she'll be terrified of me. Any new people. My wife in a hat. The Clark Kent glasses Superman thing totally works on her. Does not recognize Vicky in a hat. Me in a suit, the garbage truck, and a remote-controlled car. Now, believe it or not, she's gotten better over the last year. Nia eventually got the courage to chase this remote-controlled car around the house, and she picked it up and ran with it in her mouth, much to the delight of my children, and me, really. A year later, Nia is quicker to warm up to new people. It's not saying much, the bar was really low. And she's stopped barking at people during our evening walks as they walk right past us. She is ever so slowly learning to live out of courage instead of fear. Now, we know what it's like to live out of fear and anxiety. Back in the 40s, a book was written called The Age of Anxiety. Four characters, they deal with the reality of industrialization and how to find purpose and identity and meaning in the constantly shifting world that was the 1940s. Now, if that world was anxious and constantly shifting then, now in 2018, with post-industrialization, social media, and a never-ending news cycle where headlines are pushed to our phones and our watches instantly, we must be the age of high anxiety. We worry about our future and our jobs. We worry about health and politics and crime, racial divisions, and the future of the economy. We worry about things people have always worried about since history began. Concerns for our children, fear of failure, anxiety about death and dying. Our fears can wreak havoc on our personal relationships and our lives. Now, fear is always with us. Sometimes it is a helpful guide. It keeps us safe when we're making decisions that will lead to our harm, physically, emotionally, spiritually. This morning, meet the character of fear who helps keep Riley safe. You're going to see Riley here as a toddler and as a middle school student on the first day of class. Watch this.
Okay, looks like you got this. Very good.
Look out!
That's fear. He's really good at keeping Riley safe.
Easy, huh? I'm back! Oh, we're good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we're back. Wait, what?
Almost finished with the potential disasters. Worst scenario is either quicksand, spontaneous combustion, or getting called on by the teacher. So as long as none of those happen.
Okay, everybody. We have a new student in class today.
Are you kidding me? Out of the gates? This is not happening!
Riley, would you like to tell us something about yourself?
No! Pretend we can't speak English.
Don't worry, I got this.
Okay. My name is Riley Anderson. I'm from Minnesota, and now I live here.
Yes, fear can absolutely keep us safe, but it can keep us from making bad choices and risks that would have hurt us or our family. But fear can also rob us of the life we want and that God wants for us. Fear might have kept us from taking a healthy risk or doing the things that bring great meaning and joy and purpose to our lives. Fear can keep us from the full and abundant life Jesus wants for each one of us. Jesus calls us to live a life that is full of Him. Fear can paralyze us from taking the steps. Fear can paralyze us from making the changes necessary to become the people God wants us to be. When we dig behind depression, addictions, broken marriages, broken relationships, prejudice and hate, so many times one of the driving factors behind all of that is fear. Fear is a universal human experience, and it can be so destructive in our lives, it can require professional help to deal with. It can lead to panic attacks and anxiety disorders. Even when fear is well-placed, if we receive a life-threatening illness or we sense the impending death of a family member, we can be absolutely overwhelmed by this powerful emotion. Friends, we don't need to be controlled by fear. We cannot get rid of fear for a very good reason, but we do not need to be controlled by it. We can learn to address our fears. We can learn from them, use them, and live through them. We can learn to live lives of courage and hope instead of fear. One of the most repeated instructions in our Bibles is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. 140 times in one form or another, it shows up in Scripture. And so many times, the next words are, I am with you. Do not be afraid. Why? Because God is always with you. We have no reason to be afraid because God is with us no matter wherever we might end up. Regular men and women from Israel's founders of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to the leaders in the early church, they all struggled with fear. They found a way to press through it and live into the God's calling placed on their lives. Now, before we learn new patterns, put fear in its proper place, we do need to respect why God gave us this emotion in the very first place. Inside our brains is the amygdala. And all week, I wanted to call it the amygdala. But then it sounds like we have a Star Wars princess or queen living in our head, Princess Amygdala. But that's not what it is. It's the amygdala. It's a piece of our brain that makes a determination on a threat even before our other five senses have time to react. If we're in danger, the amygdala creates a cascade of responses. It does things like pumps our adrenaline. Your heart starts to race. Your breathing starts going faster and shallower. Your mouth gets dry. Your muscles tense up. You perspire. And all of this is to help you fight or flee the perceived danger. If you struggle with panic attacks or anxiety disorders, these symptoms are going to be really familiar to you. Now, what's fascinating to me is that the amygdala can be conditioned for certain sights and sounds and sensations. A smell, a touch, even a person can trigger the fight or flight response in us because our brain has been conditioned to associate that sight, that sound, that person with danger. Our brains will train themselves to be frightened of things that we believe will hurt us. Even if this current smell or touch or sound is no threat to us, our amygdala believes that it is, and our body kicks into that fight or flight response. And we can train our brains to be fearful of certain stimuli. Now, there is good fear. There's a reason that the amygdala is inside of our brains. We should fear falling off a mountain to our deaths. We should be motivated to eat better, to exercise, because we don't want to die early. We don't want to suffer from heart disease. Every time I have a physical and the nurse takes my blood pressure and I hear the numbers, I always wonder, should I be afraid? Because I always forget what numbers are good or bad. And I'm always looking for clues, and that is bad. I always need help determining those numbers. We save for retirement now because we don't want to live in poverty when we're older. We fear that. There is good fear. We should be thankful for the times our parents instilled in us some healthy fears of dangers, like the stove, of strangers, of crossing the street, things we didn't know that were dangers when we were children. Unfortunately, so many of our fears and anxieties today, they are made up, they are manufactured, they are things outside of our control or will likely never happen. This kind of fear and worry and anxiety, it is not a gift from God. It is not helpful. We can retrain our brains. We can unlearn fear in our lives. Just like we can condition our brains to be afraid of certain smells or sights or sounds, we can unlearn that pattern of fear, and we can live lives full of courage and hope. Just like Nia is unlearning to be less afraid, learning to be more courageous, we can unlearn fear We can find freedom in Christ that we didn't even know existed before. Our Bibles are chocked full of stories of people whose fears got the best of them. God wanted something so much better for them, so much more bold and courageous and hopeful, and instead, they settle for fear. One of those stories, one of my favorites, is Joshua and Caleb. There were two spies sent of 12 from Moses to explore the promised land. Now, some backstory, God freed the Israelites as slaves in Egypt with the very reluctant help of Moses 2 years before. In an incredibly dramatic fashion, with parting a sea and plagues, God broke them out of a hundreds of years of slavery. The most advanced army on the planet at the time was brought down by a group of beaten down slaves with God's miraculous help. Once they are free, Moses casts this incredible vision of a land flowing with milk and honey, the perfect dream and place for people that make their lives as farmers. 2 years later, they arrive at Kadesh Barnea. They're a mile south of Canaan. Canaan is the promised land. They're a mile south of living into a promise that had been there for generations. They're right next to this land flowing with milk and honey. For generations, these Israelites had been raised on fear. There were generations of fearful patterns that were just beginning to be broken and unlearned. Would they be willing to take the next step? The next courageous step that God wants them to take. So Moses leads them and sends 12 spies to figure out what they're dealing with. This is in Numbers 13. Moses tells them to go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls? Or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops that you see. It happened to be the season of harvesting the first ripe grapes. See, a lot of those questions center around, is this land going to be good for farming? Is this land going to be good for us to make a life? So the spies go and they come back a few days later with incredible news. It is better than anything they could ever imagined or dreamed it could be. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they'd seen and showed them the fruit they'd taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore. It is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the west coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. Yes, Moses, it is better than anything we could imagine. The land is, but there are giants there. They are powerful. Their cities are defended. We can't do it. Spoken like people who have been living fearful patterns generation after generation after generation. This is not going to be easy. Did they forget the events of the last 2 years? Beating the most powerful and advanced army on the world because God was with them. That was an incredible act to create new patterns, new habits, new ways of living for them that things wouldn't always be the same. Things could change for the better with God walking with them and by their side. This morning, do you believe that? Things do not always have to be the same in your life. You do not always have to be stuck, mired in fear forever. Things could absolutely change for the better. You can create new patterns. You can create new habits. You can create new ways of living with God walking by your side. You do not have to live out of courage. You can live out of courage, not out of fear. It appears that at least one person in this story caught on to the courage and hope that they should have, all of them. Caleb. Caleb tries to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report all about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. There is a minority report. There is one of hope that says, yes, we can do this. Caleb learned the lesson from leaving Egypt. With God by our side, there is nothing we cannot do. There is absolutely no reason to fear. We can do this because God is right there with us. The same people who saw God crush the most powerful army on the planet start arguing about returning to Egypt. We should go back to a life of slavery because it was better than what they were doing now. It was better to die a slave in Egypt than alone in the wilderness, they said. We have all known giant, insurmountable obstacles that make us feel like we should give up, even before we've ever started. There is a push and a pull in this story of courage and fear and hope and dread. In the end, Caleb's story does not win out. The people wait almost 40 years, 1 mile away from the promised land. 1 mile and almost 48 years from all that had been promised generations before. They wait for this stubborn and resistant generation to die off. They wait for the fearful generation to die off before the new generation of courage and hope takes the promised land under the leadership of the other spy who believed they could do it, Joshua. Now, Adam Hamilton, the author of the book that inspired this series, notes this story explains perfectly an accurate picture of how fear takes hold in us. We start with a vision, a way we want our life and our future to be, a preferred picture of the future, the promised land in our lives. It's something we long to do, we feel called to do, we feel God placed us on this earth to do, but then we start seeing obstacles and dangers and we do a risk assessment. Terror takes hold, we see giants, we freeze in our tracks and we tell ourselves, I could never do that. I don't have what it takes. What if I fail? Other people are so much better at that than I am. It is just too hard. When we're stuck and planted in our fear, every single obstacle looks like a giant. One of the first ways we deal with our fears is we have to face the reality head on to completely face our fears. We need to look our fears square in the eyes. Whether it's a troubled relationship, a financial situation, a health diagnosis, going back to school, we need to face the giant head on. Second, we need to come up with a plan. That's what Moses does with the 12 spies. He sends them into the promised land to face their fears and to come up with a plan to deal with it. That's all those questions he asks about the fortification and the land. He's trying to come up with a plan to deal with their fears. We can become absolutely paralyzed when we have no plan. Our problems are bigger, our anxiety grows, the giants become even gianter. But when we come up with a plan, seeing the reality of our fears, the giants get smaller. Suddenly, the giants don't look like giants anymore. They look like grasshoppers. Hamilton talks about catastrophizing our fears. We humans have this ability to go to the worst case scenario so fast. When we hear our kids playing outside and one of them starts crying, our amygdala kicks in and we think and are convinced one of our kids has just lost a limb. So we face our fears, we go outside, and we can't even find the cut that the child says they say they have. We've let our fears catastrophize a situation that didn't even exist. Facing our fears and making a plan absolutely helps us to decatastrophize a situation. We can start to see a path how to break or get out of this broken relationship or to heal it. We can see the path to get our finances back on track. We can see the path of how to get the career we have always wanted. We can see the way to deal with our health situation. Once we've faced our fears and make a plan, giants aren't so big anymore. Once we face those fears and we've got an accurate picture of the risks and assessments and dangers and obstacles, and we still feel like this is worth the shot, we can absolutely see beautiful and incredible things. Arlo was a dinosaur who was scared of everything, and his father helps him deal with his own fears. Watch this.
Where are we going?
You'll see. Okay, now take a walk out there.
By myself?
Go on.
Papa. Papa.
Calm down. Breathe. Sometimes you gotta get through your fear to see the beauty on the other side.
There is beauty on the other side of our fears. Your mission, should you choose to accept it today, is to start building patterns of courage and hope into your life, and we've got a few resources for you to do that. You were handed this morning a 31-day devotional by the ushers. It's to take a tiny piece of scripture every day and to pray and meditate on it for 15 minutes. It's an ancient way of scripture reading called Lectio Divina, and I know you'll be blessed by it if you choose to do it. Second, the book our sermon series comes from is Unafraid. It's in the connection desk. It is fantastic. And there's even a kid's book there, too. It's called Eek, Said Amy. That is a great resource. It's got scriptures in there for our kids once they're feeling fearful or have anxiety. And it even teaches the kids what an amygdala is. It's adorable. They're in the desk for $15 for Unafraid, $10 for Eek. I want to let you know that we don't get any kind of kickbacks or anything from these books. Authors don't promote them. They were a blessing to us in our spiritual lives, and we think you'll like them too. And we sell them as close to you as cost as we can. They're a buck or two. They're close. We sell them as close to cost as we can and fluctuate the price just a little bit because we're lazy and we don't want to deal with change at the connection desk. That's the reality. So 15 for Unafraid, 10 for the kids' book. And last, you know, there is fear and anxiety that absolutely requires professional help. So if you need it, don't be afraid to make the appointment to go get the help that you need to unlearn patterns of fear and to move into a season of courage and hope. You know, this summer we were on vacation with our kids. We took them to an indoor water park, and it was their absolute most favorite part of the trip. And there were these five-story water slides. The kids were at once excited and terrified. They were convinced that the only way they were going down these slides was with us as parents in double tubes, forward facing. We are not going backwards ever. After a few runs, they decided they could do it alone. And before too long, Vicky and I couldn't even keep up running the stairs with them anymore. And before the day was out, this happened. What they said would never happen, their greatest fear became the greatest highlight of the trip and the best way to go down the toilet bowl water slide. Friends, God wants you to live lives of courage and hope, not weighed down or stuck or mired in fear. This week, start a new habit to have God retrain your mind so you can remember and live each day. There is no reason to be afraid because God is with you. Let's pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks that you are always with us, that even when we're deeply stuck in our fear, you are right there beside us, waiting for us to take your hand to help us out of it. May we take bold and courageous and hopeful steps this week to face our fears and to make a plan to move past them. Let us see you as we spend time in your word so that we know in our head and feel in our heart and our soul that you are with us always. It is in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.